Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stephen Mayne, admittance card number 56.
Thanks, Chairman. Look, firstly, apologies for being late. There's the unfortunate clashes of the Oxiana, Iris Technology, AMP and Illumina AGMs all happening this morning in Melbourne, so it makes it a bit difficult to get around to them. Look, I've raised this issue at the previous couple of AGMs. It's about this notion that Illumina's pay should be comparable to other companies when you're a postbox company that doesn't do much. And Alcoa, you know, runs our operations for us. We're a sort of minority passive participant in 40% of the assets. Yet our board gets paid full freight as if we have thousands of employees and vast complex operations that we actually are personally, you know, as a company responsible for. So I sort of have raised with you this notion that, you know, the idea that the directors get 100K a year, or you get more than 200,000 a year, or the CEO's on hundreds of thousands with performance measurements based on how he's gone, it's all irrelevant because we don't actually control anything. It's all controlled out of Pittsburgh and Alcoa. So as you formulate your performance and pay strategies for 2008, I'd just like to ask you that you take that on board again. And I'm pleased to see that the board only met 12 times last year. As I've said previously, when you had up to 20 board meetings a year, it was starting to sound like a fortnightly lunch club. That you were getting together to have a chat. There's only 8 employees. I sort of asked the question, what do you do every, you know, to meet 20 times a year when you don't run anything? So my question is, why do we continue to pay ourselves as if we're a fully fledged company with vast operations that we control? And how much is it actually costing now to run the postbox company, which we are? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayne, and for a while I thought you weren't turning up. So I'd have to say I'm, you know, pleased to see you here. Regarding your questions, Illumina's, let me just make, you know, I don't want to go into details of, to respond to some of your comments, but it's essential for Illumina's shareholders that they have a strong management and board able to represent their interests in a major joint venture with a very large US corporation. The role of the management and the board is to ensure that our shareholders' interests are protected and advanced. And I'm sure you'd understand, and all shareholders would understand, that when you're in a joint venture like that, decisions are made from time to time where there are grey areas, and it's critical that we are represented at that table by competent people. Just as one specific example referring to last year, I'd just like to once again mention the funding arrangements. This was initiated by our management because it was enabled us to seek to get access to franking credits and also funding. And it was negotiated by them with Alcoa, obviously with their agreement, but it came out the way it did because of the efforts, insights and ability of our people. If we didn't have highly qualified and competent people to do that, I'd have to say that it's doubtful that a similar outcome would have been achieved. And that could only act to the detriment of all of our shareholders who are now benefiting from that increased flow of franking credits. Regarding remuneration, when we employ consultants in this field, they take into account the activities of the company and do take into account that it is different to other companies in the sense that it's got a very, very major joint venture interest but doesn't have a lot of employees, and those considerations are reflected in the relative remuneration both at the board level and also of management. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stephen Mayne again, admittance card number 56.
I've got two issues for Mr. Hay, Chairman. I'd be obliged if you would allow him to respond. The remuneration vote that we've just seen, 295 million in favour, 255 million against and 111 million open. I think that is the biggest protest vote against a company of your size. So your shareholders have sent you a very, very strong message that there's something wrong with your remuneration policies. Now, Mr. Hayes, on the Compensation Committee, I'd be interested in hearing from Mr. Hay as to whether he has heard the message from shareholders, the unprecedented message from shareholders. If this had gone to a poll, this resolution would only have got passed by your use of the undirected proxies, Chair. I mean, it was that tight. So what is the issue? What is the problem with your institutional shareholders? Clearly, one, if not both, of the proxy advisory firms, who are the kingmakers in these situations, so ISS and CGI, I suspect they have both recommended their clients vote against your REM report for some reason. So obviously, as a member of the Compensation Committee, that would be quite a shock, I imagine, for Peter. And so what is the response to this message? Is the company going to change its remuneration policies accordingly to satisfy its big, powerful institutional shareholders?
Thank you, Mr. Mayne. It seems to me that your question is really to do with the previous resolution. As far as the proxies were concerned, I actually disclosed that during my comments, so that I don't think there's any point in asking Peter to make further comments on the remuneration issues, which have already been voted on and passed by the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, my other issue for Peter is I heard, I mean, there's a lot of our directors are old Melbourne Mining Club alumni, Mark with Pasminco and Comalco, Ron with BHP, Peter the long-term lawyer to BHP, and yourself, Chairman, coming out of WMC. Now, I heard Hugh Morgan, obviously known to all of us on the radio the other day, basically saying that he didn't accept, well, he didn't really believe that that climate change had been caused by carbon emissions, and he was sceptical about that. Now, I'm a bit disappointed that the directors have turned out an annual report this year which doesn't deal with the issue of our generation, which is carbon and our response to it. We are the biggest consumers of electricity in the country. I therefore presume we're probably the largest emitters. Our operations, albeit we've only got 40% of them, are probably the largest emitters of carbon in the country. Why isn't the annual report dealing with this properly? I mean, if we cop a big carbon tax, it's going to knock our profits for six. So I'd like to ask Peter directly, does he support the Hugh Morgan view that he's sceptical about it, or does he accept that our operations are, you know, contributing to climate change, and that as a board we need to be upfront about this issue and talk about the risks and talk about the debate? Because I never see alumina anywhere in the debate, yet we are the largest emitter and consumer of electricity in this country. So why is the board so shy, and what are Peter's views on this, you know, absolutely vital issue, both for shareholders and for the nation? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayne. I, once again, it seems to me that that's a question that might reasonably have been asked earlier in the meeting, and it doesn't really seem to me to go to Peter Hayes' re-election. But let me just say in response to a couple of things. Firstly, John Marlay is on the Prime Minister's task force to look into climate change. So that to say that we're disinterested seems to me to be quite incorrect. And if you had been here for his presentation, and I presume you weren't, you would have heard that he went to some length to address climate change and greenhouse gas issues in that address. And maybe the best thing would be for you to get a copy of it and read it and then have a discussion subsequently.
I have Mr. Stephen Mayne, admittance card number 56.
Chairman, I would I guess I'm speaking in favour of this. It sounds like a good way to reduce the tax bill of shareholders of the company and lower the cost of capital. It sounds like it's almost a certainty we'll do this in the next 12 months. Is that a fair assumption?
Do you have any more questions?
Well, I just want to hear your answer to that one first.
Well, I'd rather you put all your questions and then I'll respond to all of them.
All right. Well, whenever a company is going to have a share issue of some sort, as a small shareholder, I would put the position to you that we would like to have a strong entitlement to apply. So, you know, I hope you're not thinking of doing an institutional placement or something. I hope that you'd be looking at either a pro rata entitlement to our shareholders, but as a very small shareholder, I'd often prefer the share purchase plan where you can sort of buy 5,000 shares. So if you do this, potentially multiple preference shares, obviously think about us in the room in terms of the ability to get a piece of the action. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Main. It is not a certainty. But obviously it's something which we are looking at seriously for the simple reasons as explained, that it provides an opportunity to lower our funding cost. I note your comment about access to such an issue, should we do one, to smaller shareholders. It is something which we have given consideration to, and it's very much on the agenda, and will be taken into account should we choose to make an issue in the future.